Today's show, transfer portal is open. Who's leaving? Who's coming? What is going on at Colorado, Michigan? Crime and punishment. Jim Harbaugh is hanging out in an RV. Beware of elephants in Montana.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Gundy, that's a lot of room for the mullet.
Ross Dellinger.
This is not going to help us in court.
And SI's Pat Forty.
Defensive transfers, DM me. Offensive transfers, DM Shadur. This is not last chance you. It's like, wait a minute, who's the recruiting coordinator there?
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. Transfer portal is open. Spring portal. A lot of hype. It's going to be a wild. It was going to be this. It was going to be that. All these guys flooding in. Thus far, and I repeat, thus far here on Wednesday. A lot of guys. Not sure how many of them are impactful. And I'm wondering if as this progresses, because the portal is going nowhere until they start handing out contracts. We all may not like it. We all may think the NCAA mishandled it. But at this point, it's done. The NCAA boxed themselves into losing lawsuits on this because they were too lenient for a while in response to the coaches being too strict. And now they're actually going to codify that you can transfer as many times as you want. So this was a slow-moving thing that they all hate, but they all created it. It's their own fault. And so here is the transfer portal. You can do whatever the heck you want. I mean, we had guys who transferred in January to a new school have now transferred again.
Yeah.
Back in the portal. Mm-hmm. Probably not going to retire the number at the...
The best comment I saw was Caden Proctor, you know, who was at Alabama and then January went to Iowa and now is going back to Alabama. Somebody said, yeah, he just wanted to go catch Caitlin Clark in person.
Free tickets to Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
Not bad. I mean, honestly, not a bad deal. Like, hey,
yeah,
Caitlin Clark's show is pretty fun. I'm going to go do that. He had time for like three pieces of corn. You know, though, they can't make the corn in the winter. Could have stuck around. Yeah. Penny Boone, really good player last year at Toledo, went to Louisville. I thought that was going to be an impact transfer. He's in the portal. So he didn't even make it to Derby Day. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, that is a misplayed hand there. Come on now.
I'm going to be the star running back at U of L next year. We get a little something extra at the Derby, a little special treatment. Didn't do it. So this is where we're at. I mean, this is funny. I fondly recall walking the quad of campus for 3 weeks before leaving to another school. But we have not seen this massive departure. Now, that said, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, Michigan, bunch of big spring games this weekend. Perhaps that sorts out for people their status. I think so. I guess what I was saying earlier is I think perhaps the way this is going to play out in the future is the January portal, the December portal, although I don't know because we got this playoff. So the December portal will be when really good players move. Although the playoff could complicate that. And then the spring portal is basically guys who didn't get a job at one place and can see the depth chart and are saying, hey, I don't want to be the third back here. I'm going to enter the portal. I'll go somewhere else. And I almost wonder if the benefits then are going to be like, look, the Sun Belt, the MAC, these places took a beat down in the winter portal. Maybe the spring portal, they kind of get some guys back. Somebody saying, hey, I don't want to be third player here, second, I want something else. I want playing time, and they go. I don't know. What do you think, Pat?
Yeah, I think that's possible. There's no doubt players get an idea where they stand in terms of the pecking order. Some may also look and say, holy crap, this team's going to be bad. I want to go play for somebody who's better. coming out of spring and go elsewhere. You know, maybe some NIL promises that were made haven't come to fruition. Could be a variety of reasons. Between basketball and football, the volume is incredible. Basketball, there's a lot more like really high impact guys right now that are in the portal. Football, it doesn't seem to be quite as many. That was more of a winter thing, especially with quarterbacks. So it's quantity. How much is quality? You know, I don't know whether people are necessarily making or breaking their roster with what's going on right now. It can matter. It can be a player here or two that really does make an impact, but mostly I think this is just a lot of volume moving around and people maybe overreacting to the volume.
Yeah, this I think there was an expectation that this transfer portal, the spring window, would produce a, you know, high rate of news, and it produced some news, but what I gather from talking to folks and seeing who's in the portal is the spring portal was used by schools to actually dump players, right? To dump like one director of personnel at an SEC school mentioned to me, we're clearing out the back half of our roster. So I think there's a lot of there's the door you could leave going on in this spring portal, as opposed to the winter portal, right? Which is this is probably a lot of player driven for player time or NIL or things like that. You know, sticking with this topic real quick, Dan. Today the D1 Council meets, and tomorrow too, your favorite, the D1 Council and their guardrails, and they will. It's not anything real significant. It came out last week, but they're gonna basically just align. You know, they're gonna approve emergency legislation that just aligns the transfer policy, which is a free transfer, right, unlimited transfer, with the preliminary injunction with the court case that happened in December. So now it'll be an official like NCAA legislation that players can move an unlimited amount of times as long as they meet academic requirements. So that will happen this week. So this unlimited space, portal space right now, is here to stay, you know, until there's some kind of new model, probably.
Yeah, this is it. This is where we're at. So, and you're right. I think this is a lot of people not getting their jobs and looking for another opportunity to play. A number of schools, I know Georgia was over the 85 scholarship limit, right? Now you can finagle those. Some guys could go walk on, NIL walk. I mean, who knows? But, and they probably want to add a guy, might want to add a guy, right? All of a sudden you have too many running backs, and you could really use another nickel. I don't know, whatever. You're constructing a roster. So, not every guy in the portal is there because he's a selfish, horrible person that only cares about himself and is demanding, you know, $1 million in NIL money and you know, 14 passes thrown to him each game. Many of them are there because their coaches are basically booting them out. And in some degree, I don't blame guys for looking for playing time. You only have 4 to 10 years to play college football. And so you really got to make the most of it.
By the time you turn 30, you might have to leave college.
I mean, geez. It's funny, man. The NCAA got just crushed for so many years and still does sometimes, usually by people who don't understand the rules, but for being heartless, right? They're always heartless. They won't let this guy play. Yeah. And now they're absolutely screwed because they grew a heart.
Yeah. Yeah. The point made here, though, that a lot of schools overbooked through the winter, and now they're clearing out to get down to scholarship limits or just get rid of guys they didn't like. So this is kind of where this is the sausage being made. And if you want the free transfers and you want to be compensated as an athlete, there's also the other side of it. You could also become trimmed more easily without anybody necessarily feeling like you got a bad deal.
Stop, like, I would encourage fans, if you're following this, God bless you, got a lot of time. I mean, this is NFL free agency is crazy, but there's so many teams and so many players. You're like, oh, so is a freshman wide receiver left, you know, like they're going to have somebody catch, you know, that kid's going to catch like 8 balls next year or something. Like it doesn't, I always find NFL free agency tweets to be hysterical because a lot of them are you have to like take care of the agents if you're a reporter, so you've got to report like, you know, a Bengals sign a guy to 2, you know, it's like you're not even gonna know that guy is on the freaking team, like, oh yeah, that guy, you know, like maybe, you know, but every one of them gets hyped up like, oh, huge play. Really in college football, forget it, like who the hell knows, who cares.
There's some agents out there doing some.
I was about
right
to say,
now.
We're starting to see that change. Yeah, we're starting to see a change in some backup left guard's agent, you know, putting out his amount of starts or whatever, consecutive starts or stats or, you know, you could see it. The third wide receiver
on a Mountain West team is all of a sudden a very productive, attractive commodity.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
And then that agent will take care of whoever bites on those things.
Yeah.
That's how media works. Yeah.
Yeah. We're starting to see it a lot more in college with the transactional and the player transfers. The one thing that just kind of boggles my mind, not to get on a soapbox.
We love soapboxes. But,
but like, you know, when a player decides to get in the portal, you know, normally there's a course of things that have to happen. Obviously, he has to notify the school, and the school officially puts his name in the portal. Right. There's a lot of things that have to happen, and those things can happen in a matter of hours, or they can take a couple of days or whatever. But we are, you know, in a kind of a time in media where we just, social media and stuff, we just got to get something out first. And I feel like we should all wait till the player's name appears in the portal, because sometimes the player doesn't transfer, right? It doesn't end up transferring, you know, and we've seen a few of those over the last couple years where it's like so-and-so intends to transfer and doesn't. We just had Bear Alexander, right, out of US, same thing happened, you know, like just – let's just wait until they get in the portal. Their name gets in the portal. I mean, it's not that difficult, and it won't be that long, and it's really not that big a deal.
Chase for Twitter followers is a big
deal. Ruined the industry.
It has done a number on sports journalism. There is absolutely no question. That is a discussion for another day of the overall impact of that follower count and what gets rewarded for it. But yeah, Chase, it's like, relax. You don't know this guy Lee. Like, you know, what was it we were talking last, like the Michigan's Rose Bowl game, like huge plays were made by Coastal Carolina and UMass transfers. And, you know, like, you don't know, relax. Your team is going to have some good players. Now, that said, some of the guys you don't want to lose. Okay. And that's kind of, so I feel like there's a lot of reasons for this to be unsettling for fans. I get it. Again, we're not, it's a little absurd. Guys are leaving after 3 months. Can't really justify that stuff. But the negativity to it is a lot of noise that will not really, you won't notice. I think the fans that want to follow this stuff and they want to know their whole 85 and they want to know their 3 or 4 deep, that's fine. Be that fan. But if you're a fan that just is like, this is overwhelming, it's fine to skip it.
Yeah, like, right.
And you don't know why a guy left. You don't know who they brought in.
Right.
You know, we just saw this. I'll just say this in basketball because it's a little fresher memory, but like, a whole bunch of D2 guys were killing it in the NCAA basketball, you know?
Yes.
Tennessee, Oakland. I mean, these guys are winning games with D2. Were you watching Northern Colorado? Were you scouting to see what? Oh, we got this. You don't know. So you have no idea. So just relax. It's okay. It's absurd. It's crazy. But there's a whole lot more. Deion Sanders is the only honest man in this thing. And we're going to get to Deion, whether being honest works. I don't know. But At least he's like, you know, you're out. I'm getting Louis. Well, this Louis didn't turn out to be. That was a fake that I bought on Canal Street.
Louis. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of Louis Danner back on the conveyor belt.
Yeah.
You know. Need a Louis refund.
New York City Canal Street sidewalk Louis got shipped back. Turned out not to be the Fifth Avenue Louis. But, you know, this will go. That said, here's a few. We'll go to a few of these. Damian Martinez, running back at Oregon State. That hurts. Yes. He's a great running back, and he is in the portal.
No, he's a very good player at a school that is still trying to, you know, regroup from being abandoned. So, I feel sorry for them. And, like, Washington State lost their best basketball player and their coach. And, of course, Oregon State football lost their coach. So, you know, these are tough times for those two schools. But Martinez is an instant impact guy that is, you know, could be a 1,000-yard rusher somewhere.
Jacoby Myers, good player, safety out of A&M. He left. Might be going to Oregon. We'll see. Penny Boone, I still think he'll be good. I don't know. Maybe Louisville looked at him and was like, nope. I don't know the situation. Keandre Lambert-Smith, wide receiver at Penn State. Penn State didn't have great receivers last year, but they kind of need all they can get. I don't know. Wouldn't really call it cause for alarm, but it's something.
No.
Dayan Hayes at Pitt. You want something on Penn State? Go ahead.
Just, nothing against Keandre Lambert-Smith, but Dan, we sat next to each other, I believe, for that Ohio State-Penn State game, and none of the receivers ever got open all game. And then I watched the Michigan-Penn State game on TV, and none of the receivers got open all game. And Franklin came as close as he was going to come to kind of calling out that receiver core. So, you know, sorry.
I hope he finds success. But, yeah, that was like a big, oh, my God, Penn State's losing an offensive weapon. I'm sure he's a great guy. We like to be positive about players, but who knows? But I'm not seeing this as a overwhelming thing. Dayan Hayes, a lineman out of Pitt, a defensive lineman. He probably the more poignant part is he mentioned that he just felt he needed to get to a bigger school. This was more developmental at Pitt. That's a damning line and not a great thing. He wants to go to maybe a contender. I don't blame any player from wanting to go win championships, but I don't know. You know, Pitt's got a pretty illustrious history of producing great, great talent and putting out some nice teams. So that one's not fun.
You know what? I'm reminded as we're going through this, we talk a lot, Dan, about the NIL and the transfer portal's impact on certain levels and the gaps growing and things like that. One of the things we've talked about a lot is the power four going down and taking the best G5 players and the gap growing there. But in this spring portal, you see a lot of the power four players in there, right, that don't have a chance at their school. And some of these guys are 4 or 5 star out of high school. And you wonder if this will be a benefit, you know, to these G5 schools, getting some of these guys maybe and giving them an opportunity. Maybe they can get them to come play. And that would be a little bit of a trade-off in a way, I guess.
Let me get the quote right, Dayan Hayes, to the Post-Gazette, to Christopher Carter, really good reporter there. I just want to make sure I get it right because I did not say it properly. It's just that I don't believe we can win now. I believe we're going to win games, but I believe we are in a developmental stage. Okay, not a developmental program, in a developmental stage. I want to be really clear because that is not fair to Dayan or Pitt, and I just can't do that right now. So the team is on the rise, but he doesn't want to be part of that developmental, whatever developmental stage meant.
And we do want to be accurate, especially where it comes to Pittsburgh, which just sent me 2 of their cans of collective beer. Fake Slide Pilsner.
Oh, the Fake Slide Pilsner. Great name for a beer.
It's an outstanding name. I applaud all collectives that come up with beer names that are appropriate for some, you know, great moment or at least controversial moment in their program history. The Kenny Pickett Fake Slide against whoever that was.
Kenny Pickett. Yeah. It was like in a bowl game, right? Michigan State?
I think so. Yes. People still argue about that play like 2 years later.
If you drink too much of them, okay, and you get a little hammered and the gravity kind of starts working in weird ways and you almost fall down, you tell your wife, fake slide, man. No, man, did I have too many beers with the boys? No!
I was just fake doing slide. A picket.
Kenny Pickett, man. Come on, go pit.
I think it was in, I was looking up when that fake slide was. Was it in the ACC championship game?
Maybe, might have been.
Oh, maybe it was that. Yeah,
I think it was the ACC championship game. Yeah, in a few years back. Yeah, I had kind of forgotten about that. It was, ACC title win over Wake, 45-21. When they won, and he had the 58 yard touchdown run, in his fake slide froze defenders.
Yeah, people have, honest to God, like 15 months later or however long it's been, people are still arguing about that play. I can't get away from it.
Fake slide. Anyway, that's we'll see more. I'm intrigued again after these games this weekend. Those are. Obviously, some big programs have their spring games. Michigan, to me, has been very interesting. They have not had a lot of portal departures, and this is a new coach. You know, you saw a lot of movement when new coaches were coming in. The thing with Michigan is they played all the way to the final game, and then, I think maybe players get – I mean, you win the national title. Do you really want to leave, like, the next morning? Or do you want to hang – I mean – if you're going to spend your spring doing something, hang around campus when you're a national champ, right? That's like we're telling Penny Boone to hang out for the Derby. I would want him to be like, I'll transfer later. I don't know. And you want to give Sherrone Moore a chance and all this, but see how spring practice goes. Obviously, you're going to have kids leave after all of these games because they're looking at the depth chart. But does anyone notable leave Michigan because Jim Harbaugh isn't there anymore? Or they're running through assistant coaches for all the wrong reasons. Or do they say, no, I'm in. You know, I want to stay at Michigan. This is where I want to be. We're the reigning champs. We love Sherrone. I don't know. And I don't know that one way or the other would be all that telling. But certainly I think that's one school that hasn't maybe processed the end of the season the way everybody else processed it in the winter session, if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah. And I agree. Stick around and hear Hail to the Victors, you know, a few thousand more times through the winter and enjoy the afterglow of that and probably feeling great about being part of the team and then see what happens and where you stack up after the spring. And even though it's a lot of the same coaching staff, it's still different guy in charge and they may have different views on certain players. They may, you know, some guys Harbaugh liked a lot, Sherrone Moore may not like as much or the other way around. And so I wouldn't be surprised if there are a few departures coming out of that game.
Yeah, Dan, what's the deal with the staff there, huh? It's been interesting.
I need an NIL deal with Uber. My God. I mean, what? Come on, football staff? Like, what, like Harbaugh leaves and now everyone's like partying? Like, we got rid of that guy. Let's all get drunk and drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never get it. I don't understand it. Hopefully never. I'll never have to eat these words, but I don't get when you're drinking, especially drinking heavily, where you're going to fail a test that you would not just very simply order an Uber. It's not hard. I don't understand it.
Well, in this day and age, it's never been easier, obviously.
Yeah, right. No, it has. That's exactly right. Yeah.
These are it's not right to do any time, but like if you're driving around at 3 a.m. in Ann Arbor, it's not Vegas. Like there's only going to be like, how many cars are on the street.
Right. Yeah. So that was Denard Robinson who followed Greg Scruggs. And, you know, then there were the other legal problems. So it was Matt Weiss, the offensive coordinator under Harbaugh. And
there was the cheeseburger.
Let's get to the cheeseburger in a minute. Yeah, we're going to get to the Michigan sanctions. Michigan every Harbaugh living in an RV on the beach because he wants to be the Rockford Files. Yeah, I know Harbaugh's gone, but if we could drag him back in, I'm saying you're all going to miss him. Yeah, he was crazy and annoying, and maybe you hated him. I don't blame you. But God, the guy was comedy.
Before we leave the transfer conversation, real quick, there's just some interesting numbers that just popped up from updated numbers from Max Olson of The Athletic, who does a good job of tracking the portal. 221 FBS scholarship players have entered the portal so far. So that's actually not very much at all, right? 221 out of 133, you're talking roughly one and a half, you know, something like that per team. 20% of them, thought this was an interesting one, 20% of them were repeat transfers. That's probably a higher number than we've seen in the past, and I'm sure it's something that's going to grow.
That, real quick on that, that is, people, you know, are very quick, I think, to criticize players for this, but I'm more concerned about the players disadvantaging themselves than disadvantaging the programs they're leaving. For one thing, you know, are you really paying attention to where you're going, and then you have to turn around and leave again in 3 months? Maybe you do, but you know, maybe you could do a little bit more homework on where you should go. And then secondly, this is another point kind of entirely, but Matt Painter made this at the Final Four, and I thought it was an outstanding point, that there's a lot of places, football and basketball, if you stick it out for 3-4 years and just simply play, you don't even have to be a star, but there's a lot of places where people get to know who you are and they will take care of you. Scholarship for life. And Painter talked about a Purdue network of alums that will hire you, that will give you jobs, that will, you know, help take care of you, is extensive. Indiana basketball, Kentucky basketball, North Carolina, blah, 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 blah. Football, same thing. A lot of those big schools, and the guys that move one school, next school, 3 schools, 4 schools, you don't have any of that. You don't have any built-in reservoir of relationships or loyalty with the program where, guess what, you're not going to the NFL. You might need somebody to say, hey, we can help you get a job. And that's going to be a lot harder to come by.
No doubt. It's a huge thing. And it is, it's quick money against, you know, the long play. I mean, they always say that stuff. I'm not making a 4-year decision. I'm making a 40-year. Now it's like, I'm not making a 4-month decision. And it is one thing to, you know, even if you make the NFL, you know, they call it not for long for a reason. You're not going to make that, you know. You go to a place like Michigan that's never won does not win national championships every year, right? If you are a member of that team, we'll see what Michigan does. But let's say you go back to what year was it that they won with the 97 team? You're on that team. You always have that calling card. Always. You're on those Nebraska teams. Like, you have such influence and in business and even not just getting a job, but later on, like, you know, in sales just such an unbelievable advantage. You know, we talked like about the guy who was leaving Harvard. Like, what are you doing? Right. Like, all these schools have such immense power. So I get it. Some kids want to play. That's it. But to sit there and say, oh, yeah, I put, you know, they'll be like, hey, this is so-and-so. He played, he was at Michigan. Yeah, he played for Harbaugh, was on that national championship team. Tell that story when you're 60 years old. And it could still help you. So it's definitely something that, you know, is it considered? Should it get considered? It should. And maybe some of them do. Maybe some of them don't. So right now it's a free deal. All right, let's quick break for commercial. We'll be back with Colorado. Coach Prime still delivering. Deion Sanders, head coach, Colorado Buffaloes, put out, I love his videos. He puts out all the videos that you're not supposed to put out. He said, Ross, like, people are like, see, you know, hey, man. You know, I don't want to admit this publicly, but we're clearing out the roster. Not Prime. He'll just videotape it, put it out. You know, our kids aren't going to class. Let's put it out on Instagram, YouTube. He stood before his team on Tuesday. He said, "You know what today is? Portal day." He's excited. "Anyone want to jump? Jump. Anyone want to ride? Ride." It was pretty cool. Except a bunch of guys jumped. But I'm sure a lot of guys rode. But hey, at least you know. Two guys notable. One was offensive lineman Savion Washington, who started 9 games last year. I don't know. Is this kid good? Not good? I don't know. But offensive line was their big issue. And you never want to see losing offensive linemen. They're hard to replace. So that was that's one that popped. The other was Cormani McClain, who was a huge top 5 recruit in the class of 23, who never really got much playing time, or and Deion called out numerous times, again, something he doesn't normally do publicly. It was kind of a surprise when he didn't leave in winter. He is now in the portal, and that's obviously going to get a lot of attention. Before we get to the Sanders brothers, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, the we said it earlier, right? Deion is going to do everything he does, right, is probably different, and maybe purposely different than any other coach. And I think he approaches it, uniquely. You know, I think this is just another example of how he is fairly transparent and open in a way that we haven't seen, which is kind of like a good change for all of us to see that. But at the same time, I think that a lot of folks in the industry have a different feeling about the way that Deion has handled things, including one person who I remember when Deion we're right in the middle, obviously, of all this litigation, right? The college athletics, it's in the middle of all this lawsuits and this litigation for athletes' rights and compensation. I remember when Deion gave his Louis speech to the team, it was filmed, it went out everywhere. I remember getting a call, and the person said, "This is not going to help us in court." Like, yeah.
Like, no, he cares.
Like, Deion does not give a flying you-know-what.
I will say, the number Ross put out there, basically 1.5 players or nearly 2 players per school transferring. Well, Colorado's kind of skewed the curve there a little bit, because I think they have, according to producer Joe, they've got 10 guys in the portal. So that's a lot, including, I think, 3 offensive linemen. Savion Washington, as Dan noted, the one starter, although that was not a good offensive line.
No, that's kind of the Penn State wide receiver theory, right?
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot there, just a lot of churn, and that's kind of been, God, their staff, a lot of churn on staff. So there's just, it's a very unsettled program, and maybe that's the way it needs to be, is they're still trying to, build a roster that's better than the disaster that Deion took over. But it is constant motion there. Players in, players out. Coaches in, coaches out. Louis in, Louis out, whatever the case is. There's a lot going on at Colorado, and we'll see, how stable the product is when they put it on the field. I remember, I think at this time last year, people had basically said Colorado would be an abject disaster. It didn't end up being a complete smashing success, but it was not an abject disaster.
You know, I'm not seeing, I have no idea what he's up to. Doesn't want to recruit at high schools. Doesn't really want to recruit high school players. He's doing this portal thing on paper, not seeing the upgrade at the O-line that you want. They did get some defensive linemen to come in. They got Quincy Wiggins from LSU and edge. They got Keaton Wade and edge from Kentucky. So they're maybe going better on defense. They've got NFL talent on the roster. We'll see. I think, there's 2 ways to look at, is this going to work? Who knows? Probably not, because it probably doesn't ever work at Colorado. Would I like to see a little more hybrid of like Deion really using his star power and going and getting more five stars? Did I think he would win more in the portal and get better players out of the portal? I did. We haven't seen that. Like, he's not involved in the top portal kids that we would identify. So we'll have to see. Obviously not. This isn't quite how I would expect it would go. I thought he would be more. He would be more of a hybrid of traditional and whatever he's doing his way. I do think there's two things with the portal now that wasn't the case when he first got in. Originally, when you got a kid out of the portal, they were stuck because they had used their one-time transfer. And so you could get a kid on the portal, and now it's like, now you're going to have to sit out. That's over. I do think kids that, to your point earlier, Ross, about the kids that, or I don't know which one he had the stat, that already transferred. I mean, it does not surprise me that if you transferred once, the chances are higher that likelihood you'll transfer again, because it was basically a shotgun marriage to begin with. You know, they go through this long, extensive process with the high school recruiting. And they spend all this time and get to know people, and this is the campus, and mom and dad are involved, or, you know, whatever the whole situation. They've been going to games there for years. And then in the transfer portal, it's, you know, boom, overnight. I know of someone who transferred for women's soccer, and they basically got told their spot wasn't there by the coach. Like, you're not really going to play. And they had like 6 weeks to find a school. And I know it's women's soccer, so it's different. But like, the family was like, it was a nightmare. Like, we had to figure out where you could go, where your transfer, you know, it's just like, we had 6 weeks to pick college, opposed to 3 years that people often, you know, they start asking sophomores in high school, hey, where are you thinking of college, you know, and all these tours. You had no chance. So if you have to do a last second move and go, I'm going with Prime, and then you get out there and you're like, oh, this isn't for me for whatever reason. So I think with Deion, you can look at it and say, look, he's not building anything for long term. Is he going to be there when his kids are gone, all this stuff. You could also look at it and say, this team had one win and has been terrible for 20 years. And if they get 6 wins this year, it is a really good job of the build. And they had record applications this year at Colorado. They sold out. They had I think they said their African-American applicants were up 50% to Colorado. You know, so things for the school, this is working great. Whether Deion, now everyone else is like, when's Deion going to win 10 games? Well, that's because Deion's saying we should win 10 games. But in reality, so I feel like there's too much hype with Deion, and then there's too much criticism on Deion. Like, I don't know what, who knows? He's just doing his thing.
It remains fascinating and polarizing, and will be, because it is so unconventional. You know, he's just going about this completely differently. And until he demonstrates otherwise, I honestly do feel like he's like the ultimate little league dad who is just there to coach his kids. And we'll see if he does still want to coach and still want to coach Colorado and still want to coach hard after Shadur is done and in the NFL and Travis Hunter with him. But it's like, it's pretty eye-opening when Shiloh Sanders is putting on Instagram, defensive transfers, DM me, offensive transfers, DM Shadur. This is not last chance you. It's like, wait a minute, who's the recruiting coordinator there and who isn't? The
family Deion's business.
Kids are taking over.
Family business.
Yeah, that's heartwarming. But what's the recruiting coordinator doing to earn his money? And what's Deion doing recruiting-wise? Is he actually doing anything? He certainly isn't going on the road recruiting.
He's not going on the road, but hey, Shadur, you know, shoot out some tweets and try to get us some players. It's bizarre, man. I mean, wow.
It is crazy.
Shiloh, he's a defensive leader.
Yeah, Shiloh was.
Just to recap, Shiloh Sanders, they're great safety, and one of Deion's two sons on the team put out an Instagram, but just exactly that. Defense, yeah, me. Offense, Shadur. I mean, not unusual for players to talk. Not unusual. It's common, right? Hey, you think of the transfer, and hey, how you like it over there? Everybody does that, okay? That's why I say tampering is impossible to enforce. These guys crying are crazy. Everybody's got, hey, you like working over there? You should come work for us. Or, hey, how's you guys hiring over there? This is just life, right? So tampering is life. But this is, to put it out on Instagram is a new one. And just hey. But the line is, no, this is not last chance you. Every clown car. I rewatched Last Chance U recently. I mean, it's so great. But yeah, we're not just taking you. I was like, all city as a sophomore. A couple things happened, but I think your dad be interested. No, we're not interested. Okay. Good God. Can you imagine what Shador is getting hit with right now?
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Yeah. It's, again, extremely unconventional means of operating there. And the thing is, and this is going to be the case with Dion, it is the case every single week as things ebb and flow and people come and go and whatever. But, like, you could look back at last year and say, if Sonny Dykes hadn't screwed up that opening game, if Colorado State hadn't blown a lead, Dion's 2-10 and nobody's even thinking about, you know, saying what a great job he did or whatever. Or you could flip that and say, if they hadn't blown a lead against Stanford, if they hadn't lost on the last play against Arizona, they're 6-6. They go to a bowl game. There's more momentum. It's that close, you know, and that's football. But there's this giant, I think, referendum constantly being made and shifted and altered about Dion. He can do it. He can't do it. He's a fraud. He's a great player. Yeah, whatever. And so it's just fascinating to see that. And we're probably going to go through that all this next season as well.
It'll be another year of Colorado. And yeah, it is over the top thing. So he invites it. So that's how he wants it.
That's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing. Like he puts red cameras everywhere. Everything's, I mean, he tweets out things he says. I mean, he invites any kind of media. Whether it's criticized or praise, he invites it and seems to be fine with it. He definitely follows. We talked about this last year, right? He follows the any press is good press type of line there.
All right, Michigan has resolved one of its cases against the NCAA. It's got multiple cases. Michigan's like the Donald Trump of.
Yeah, which trial is this?
I don't know. Yeah. We'll just figure it out as it goes. We got a lot of situations. This would be the not a cheeseburger case, which goes back to illegal recruiting during the COVID dead period, scouting, analyst coaching, scouting, watching like guys work out through Zoom, all of that. Went down. Michigan is the Detroit News. Michigan football program faces 3 years of probation, a fine, and recruiting restrictions. And five current and former coaches have agreed to 1 year show cause orders. That was it. A negotiated agreement was announced Tuesday with the NCAA. Very few details. Sharon Moore already served a game suspension, and some other guys had to serve some suspensions last year. Harbaugh obviously got suspended. Harbaugh is not part of this agreement. One coach did not participate. Tom Mars, Harbaugh's lawyer, said Coach Harbaugh filed a lengthy response to the NOA, which unfortunately has not been made public. I see that Michigan changed its position to get this resolved, which is not surprising. I can almost hear the wheels of the bus going womp, womp. Thank you, Tom Mars. I'm going to get a quote out of Tom Mars. Also, Tom Mars, this is on CBS Sports. Mars said at one point the NCAA demanded all of Harbaugh's texts and emails for 2.5 years. Request recruited all personal emails. He said at which point they wanted it in 24 hours, according to Mars. At which point I said, okay, you're not getting any of them. It's an invasion not even the Justice Department is allowed to do. Mars is going to start tweeting on Truth Social. He'll start his things. No, and then Mars got in a letter. He got a letter.
This is classic.
Great. I mean, the attorney, he won't stop ripping the NCAA on Twitter, X. He's constantly bashing them. In a letter of admonition?
Yeah.
Admonitions. Yeah. Admonishment? No, it's admonition.
Admonition.
I would never have any reason to receive one, so I wouldn't know. letter of admonition.
You're going to be admonished for your pronunciation.
I'm admonished often for that. NCAA Committee on Infractions Chair Dave Roberts wrote in October 23, this is a Dennis Dodd story, that if Mars didn't halt his social media posts criticizing the NCAA's investigative process, quote, the COI will consider appropriate penalties, including immediate suspension of your client. So the NCAA threatened to suspend Jim Harbaugh, who was already suspended twice last season by two different groups. Harbaugh was threatened with a third suspension during the 15-0 season because his attorney kept ripping the NCAA on Twitter. Come on, man.
How do you think that would have gone over? Oh, my God. That might have been the thing that finally sent people marching from Ann Arbor south to Indianapolis if they would have tried to suspend Harbaugh because his lawyer is a Twitter crank.
I mean, people are like, hey, man, the NCAA's out to get us. So you're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Then you're like, well, maybe. If you're literally going to suspend Jim freaking Harbaugh in the middle of a 15-0 season because his attorney is saying mean things about you on social media.
I'm guessing that was what they call a veiled threat.
Well, they said.
And an empty threat.
An empty threat, yeah.
There will not be any further admonitions. Okay, so basically there's a threat, like you do it again, you're suspended. Well, I can assure you, Tom Mars did not stop ripping the NCAA to this day.
Oh, no.
He pointed out there were no further admonitions. So in that one, that little back down, Mars like, I dare you. That would have been wild.
Yeah. No.
Tony Petitti at least had some kind of a thing. We got to do something here. Okay. I thought maybe that's your opening Pandora's box, but I get it. They were citing NCAA bylaw 19.4.6, which gives the Committee on Infractions authority to sanction parties and or their representatives for behaviors that inhibit the committee's ability to effectively manage the docket, ensure a professional and civil decorum in all proceedings, and otherwise efficiently solve infraction cases. I don't think a guy being mean to you on social media inhibits any of those things.
I would say this too. Like, Tom Mars is maybe the last person on earth to try to intimidate. It's not going to work. He relishes a good fight. He will come back twice as hard. So we saw who won that one.
I don't know who takes it more from Tom Mars, the NCAA, or Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the governor of Arkansas. True.
Not a fan of the governor of Arkansas.
It's just it's a constant feed of berating those two entities from Mr. Mars.
I mean, for content purposes, I wish that they had dared to try this.
Yeah. Tom Mars, let's get him on next podcast, Dan.
Well, we don't do guests. We don't do guests, but then again, Tom telling his best stories might be.
Could be entertaining. Could make a little newsmaker.
We'll reach out to him. I don't know. Maybe he's available.
maybe.
Might be fishing. Anyway, that would have been, I just can't even imagine. I just so wish that had happened.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been one of the great moments in NCAA history.
Oh, I'm still excited just at the threat. I can't even believe they had the gall to threaten it. And then what'd they do? Did they really think he was going to stop?
Yeah.
This guy?
Of all people, again, like, do not try to get Tom Mars to back down from anything.
The Tom Mars, Jim Harbaugh, attorney-client privilege conversations would be epic. I wish. Speaking of Harbaugh, so he is not, he didn't participate in this, but I don't think he cares. On the day that this penalty basically is, I assume, nothing. I think it goes back to it's amazing how little anyone even cares. Like, I mean, in the past, this would have been a scandal. Oh, probation. All right. Like, and this goes back to my theory that the NCAA has no penalties that can even matter anymore. Other than recruiting restrictions. dude, what? We can't talk to the player. All right, we'll talk to his agent. We'll use this to fundraise and increase our NIL. I mean, like, I don't think they can punish anyone for anything. Show cause, whatever. Deion doesn't even go on the road.
Yeah, the biggest penalty there was, right, was the probably the 1 year show causes for the coaches. But I don't know which ones either.
And what constitutes the show cause? Probably their ability to recruit, whether it's on the road, whether it's in person, whatever. But no, that's the thing. This was a prime example, I think, of something that in a prior life would have been a big deal and probably could have hurt Michigan pretty badly. But the two things that happened, first of all, Harbaugh followed the Pete Carroll, Chip Kelly path out of town and into the NFL where he can't be punished. And secondly, the NCAA doesn't have a lot of means, or I'm not sure they have a lot of stomach for laying down harsh sanctions anymore. And so
what sanction can they hit him with?
Yeah.
Postseason ban.
Right.
This is
not a postseason ban kind of situation. Again, like the only person that was going to get hit hard in this was Harbaugh, and he left.
Yeah. And let's be clear on what these were real violations of things that are not about paying players.
Right. No, this was competitive advantage.
Yeah. And you take out the COVID part, which I know people get, squirrely about, but there are times of the year you're allowed to meet with recruits, and there are times you're not. That's a calendar issue. Even if the NSA ceased to exist today, the next group would say, hey, these are the recruiting calendar. That's a fair, you should follow that rule. It may not be the biggest thing in the world, but it's not like this is, you just hate paying. No, this is the calendar. You're not allowed to meet this time. You're not supposed to meet. You can only have so many coaches. Well, that's the rule. The other schools you're not allowed to videotape the workout. Okay, maybe you should, maybe you shouldn't, but these are real, not really debatable rules. It's not like, nothing out of this.
Right. No. And that, I mean, they are. They are significant rules. Significant, but they are clear-cut rules.
Clear-cut.
Yeah, they violated them and seemingly willingly violated them. And then Harbaugh lied about it. And that's where the rubber was going to hit the road, but he hit the road in his RV.
Yeah. So the day he released, this all came out. Now this story has been out there. Sam Farmer of LA Times, I'm sorry, who does an unbelievable job covering everything, but especially the NFL. He went down and met with Harbaugh at this RV park. But the LA Chargers put out video of Harbaugh living in his RV. So he moves to out to coach the Chargers, but his kids are in school. So his wife and family stay back in Ann Arbor for the time being. And rather than rent a hotel room, he and his brother-in-law or whatever each get an RV and live down by the beach in LA because Harbaugh was a big fan growing up of the Rockford Files. Now, I don't remember this show. It was before my time, but I believe he was a detective who lived by the beach in an RV, and then he'd solve, keep the street to LA clean at night or something. I don't really know what the show was, but apparently young Jim Harbaugh would see this guy living in an RV at the beach and go, I want to do that one day. And I got to say, it does sound pretty cool. So here was his chance. So he got an RV and is living in a trailer park by the beach and loving it. Of course, he says you never get a better night's sleep than when there's rain and an RV. I mean, RVing is awesome, right? I mean, these RVs are not cheap anymore either. It was awesome. It was great because it's like the NCAA is going through rule 19.6.7 and Harbaugh's like, yeah, I'm living my best life out here. What is happening? Threatening my lawyer, dude, coaching the Chargers. I got Justin Herbert living by the beach. Fantastic.
Yeah. Pulling out my camp chair and having a beer or a drink, whatever, looking out at the surf. Yeah. No, this is such classic Harbaugh. And he and I are about the same. He's about a year older than I am. And so I remember the Rockford Files. And
what is the show?
Jim Gardner was your – ask me if you've ever heard this formula before. You're kind of maverick renegade private investigator, doesn't necessarily do things by the book, but solves the cases and kind of frustrates the cops along the way. Okay, tried.
I think
and true.
That's my journalism career. Thank you. I'm the new rock bomb. Do I get to live by the beach?
If you want. That's going to be my question for you guys. Could you RV or not? Are you pro RV or anti RV? Like, I couldn't live that way.
Well, I could do it. I could do an RV. I think I could. I like. I could handle small. Live in the city. I could handle small spaces. It's going to be a nice RV, you know. But I would be very excited to hear the rain hitting the roof. Harbaugh says it's just wonderful to sleep to. Oh, so,
yeah, 100%. I could live in an RV.
I believe that with you. I do.
Got a campfire every night.
Yeah. Lots of beers.
Lots of beers by the campfire each night. Imagine if you could come back to a campfire every night.
Here's the problem, Dan. You don't have a yard to mow.
The real question is, Dan, would you live in Uncle Eddie's RV?
That there.
Ross, that you did right it. There.
You did. Ross did an imitation RV. Of this last week. Say it again. Do it.
Clark, that's an RV.
No, that there is an RV.
That you right said there is an RV.
He did
there
a great. You did it better last week.
I'm on the spot now. It's hard.
I think he had rubber sheets and like, yeah. That was, yeah. No.
Go get the rubber sheets.
Yeah. I would not take over his. But the one Harbaugh was in, I used to do cover NASCAR and you'd interview the guys and the drivers are in their RVs a lot. They'd be hanging out in the RV park and those things were like 800,000. I mean, they were incredible. They get that Extenda thing. Yeah, it's nice. Better than a hotel room. Like everyone would be fine. I mean, these are NFL coaches who like sleep on their couch. Like I haven't left the office in 4 months. Like these are not well-adjusted people. Harbaugh's like, pretty good. No one would think like I'm staying at the Fairfield Inn next to the facility.
There's somewhere between, I you know, somewhere between an RV and the Fairfield Inn. There's an upper level from there. I mean, you're Jim Harbaugh. You're getting paid, I don't know, $8 million. Stay at the Ritz. Come on now.
The man is a chicken. He had a chicken coop so that he would.
I know. I mean, if you're going to put out a probability ranking of who's going to live in an RV, Jim Harbaugh is number one without a doubt.
All right, which college football coach would now live in an RV?
Yes.
That's what I want to know.
That's the next. Yeah. Who's next on the RV ratings?
Who would you put next? I have the answer.
What do you got?
I have the answer. Mike Gundy.
Oh yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. I could see that. Yeah. Can you have a gun rack on an RV?
Absolutely. Okay. I would recommend it, probably. I mean, there ain't a whole lot. And we know this because to transition beautifully, he has put his house on for sale. His house is on Zillow. $8 million.
$8 million in Stillwater?
$8 million. It's located south of Stillwater. 13,853 square feet on an 80-acre ranch.
Ah, there you go.
13,800-foot house?
Gundy, that's a lot of room for the mullet. That is a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah, that's why the price is how it is.
That's room for like a Branch Davidian compound. I mean, that's a humongous deal.
It looks like a Great Wolf Lodge, if you're ever familiar with those water slide hotels.
Yes.
Nice one. Much better than the Great Wolf Lodge. Great Wolf Lodge, if you have young children and have to go to the water park, and it's an experience. Any buyers? I'll show you. Gundy joked last week.
To the media member, to the press, at the press conference. Tons of those people can afford that, I'm sure. Yes,
Coach, I work for us the Tulsa
media.
World.
We can all afford an 80-acre ranch in Oklahoma.
$8 million, no problem.
Tulsa World beat writer. It's too big a house for two people. It needs to be for a young family that has a lot of energy, wants to be on the ranch and goof around, having a swimming pool and all that stuff. That's kind of past my time. Say it ain't so, Coach. The pictures are amazing. It is huge. Great water. The great pool. Huge. I don't even want to know what happens in Gundy's hot tub, a built-in hot tub.
No, we don't.
I don't think we need any tales from that. There's a fishing lake that is probably stocked.
Of course.
It is called, what is it called? The 3GB Ranch.
Okay.
8 million. Yeah, it's looking good. It's looking good. I don't know.
I can't believe anything in Stillwater could cost $8 million.
Well, you got that SI money, Pat. I mean,
Let's
come on now. Let's get in right on it.
Because it is my life's goal to live in Stillwater.
I'm sure someone will be interested in selling you a house. All right.
Dan, I have something for you to circle back to our initial conversation, how we started the pod on the transfers and the reporting around transfers, right? And all that stuff. This is just a great post this morning from Bud Elliott, who is kind of recruiting guru for 24/7. It's his handy guide to deciphering tweets about the transfer portal. It's a couple paragraphs here. I want to read it. If a tweet highlights a guy's career stats and not the stats from his most recent season, high chance he is an accumulator and not an impact player. Number two, watch out for snap counts, which include special teams as opposed to snaps played on defense or offense. The same goes for game, quote, games played as opposed to games started. Number three, if they highlight his high school rating and he's been out of high school for 2 years or more, good chance he's a bust. Number four, if they mention a player was preseason all conference and don't say anything about what he did during that season, chances are he got hurt or he sucked. Number five, if a player has had flashes of production and is about to be on his third or fourth school, good chance he's a huge pain in the ass off the field. I like it. Good list.
That is a good list. So
the recruiting ranking thing is prescient for sure, because I do see a lot of people referencing, you know, what he was rated coming out of high school, and then, well, that's great, but what's he done lately?
People score time. I think we got there. All right, we got two. This one's just great for, if only for the headlines and stuff. But this is ingenious. Remember we had the beer bandit. What do we call that guy?
Oh yeah, the Bud Light bandit.
Bud Light bandit in Fort Worth,
Texas.
This guy had enormously long arms. He wasn't that tall.
What are you talking about?
This is a few years ago. He was like the Tayshaun Prince. Yeah, yes. He was like extraordinary, like pterodactyl long arms this guy had. Mel Kiper.
Stole like five cases of beer and could carry them all out somehow. Yeah. He like, you know, just somehow he could, got his arms around like five
he
cases.
He could carry five cases of beer in one hug, one carry. Yeah. So he would walk into the gas station in Fort Worth and just grab five cases of beer and walk out in one, like, and they never found him as far as I know. He was the Bud Light bandit. He really liked Bud Light. Really liked it.
Hope he's still out there.
I mean, five. Give it a shot. See if you can carry five. But this and walk fast enough that no one apprehends you.
Yeah.
So that guy was kind of, he's small potatoes to this crew. Prosecutors with the Southern District of New York said Wednesday, eight men have been charged with stealing numerous cases of beer from train cars and other facilities across the Northeast over the course of nearly 2 years. The men carried out dozens of, quote, beer heists in New York, Jersey, Connecticut, and Massachusetts. These are like the old train robbers, right? Like the old West. Under the cover of darkness, this is NBC News, the men would usually gather in the Bronx, then set out for a given night's target. Once they arrived, they'd cut a hole in a fence surrounding location, cut the locks, the railroad cards, and then access sealed pallets of beer, usually Corona or Modelo, that were getting shipped up from Mexico. Then they would bring them all back to the gathering point in the Bronx. They would inspect the cases and subsequently sell them. They were paid. Each team was paid hundreds of dollars for a given night's work. The leader is named Jose Cesari. His nickname is Cry. He would post on Instagram seeking recruits for the ring. It's like a Colorado transfer portal.
Yeah, right. So much for keeping it quiet.
He was looking for last chance U candidates. You could make $100,000 a month following what he described the beer train method. And then they stole police scanners and used them to monitor police activity, all this stuff. Here is Special Agent James Dennehy. Train heists harken back to the days of the Wild West and gunslingers riding horse, stealing loot from rail cars. Love that. This is a very
loot.
Descriptive FBI agent. The romanticized image has nothing to do with the modern day criminals we allege took part in the theft ring beyond the targeted rail yards and beverage distributions. All right. Penalty. If these guys are they innocent, are they guilty? What is going on? These guys are train robbers for Modelo.
Yeah, that's the problem in my court. I would say this. First of all, kudos to getting Wild West on the show, and we're not referring to the transfer portal, so that's good. But, no, if you're going to go to these lengths, you got to steal good beer. And Modelo, Corona, definitely not. So, no, there's no mercy here. Throw the book at Cry and his circle, his ring.
What I've only drank Modelo in a bottle, a glass bottle. Do they make Modelo in cans?
They do.
Oh, they do. All right. You can get one for $19 at SoFi Stadium.
One beer.
Yeah.
One beer for $19.
Because of course that occurred to me like about breaking bottles and transportation issues. I don't know, Dan. What's your take on this? You're the beer guy.
Well, so I see it two ways. One, there were a whole bunch of people in the Bronx got some cheap beer because these guys are clearly just selling them. Instead of going to the liquor store, you get underselled. So, working guy, Bronx. He wants some cold beers too at the end of the week, and he gets a deal. But you're also denying someone else from getting that. Like there's a liquor stores in Jersey and Connecticut, New York, Massachusetts, apparently, that were waiting for their shipment of Modelos and they get ripped off. So then the guy goes to that store. So I think that Modelo is not prohibitively expensive. And it's a quality product, but it's a working man's beer and it should not be stolen. I think the people should have the access to the free flow of Modelo and Corona coming into this country. So I say throw the book at them. Can't have it. In my opinion.
Now, the highlight of last pod was Ross bumbling through some pronouns or something and then just resolving it with beer.
A few Coronas in.
Yes.
Yeah, we're all sober this time.
We are.
All right, finally... they got football out at Montana Tech, Butte, Montana, right? Butte, Montana. We're not sure if this guy was a fan of Montana Tech, but an elephant was caught on the camera of the streets of Butte on Tuesday. The Jordan World Circus. Never heard of it. It was in town, and apparently they don't have very good elephant security because the elephant escaped. And was marching through the streets of Butte. It did a number. It before it got caught, according to the video, it walked by a local bar, the town pump. It's caught on its security video of just an elephant walking by. And it went to a homeowner's lawn and went to the bathroom. And not in the way you would not want an elephant either way, but this would be the
number one
you really don't want.
Number two. Ooh, clearly, elephant number two.
Yeah,
it's almost like a number three.
On the lawn. I don't know if this is, we need to have a sentence, but what is going on, Pat, in Butte?
You know what? I think Montana Tech is recruiting for the elephant position. Some defenses play an elephant. It's a hybrid like defensive end linebacker. Who better than to get an actual elephant? I say, put the pads on this beast and line him up. Let's see what he can do. I was impressed with the video of the elephant trotting at a pretty good pace. He went right past a casino, didn't go in. So he's focused. He's not like going to be distracted by going to gamble or anything like that.
It was, yeah.
Some good straight line speed. Can probably get to the quarterback. I say... give the elephant a scholarship and hope he doesn't go in the portal.
What do you do if an elephant takes a big you-know-what in your yard? How do you even, like, I don't, I mean, I'm sure you don't have a shovel big enough for this.
You got to move. You have to move.
Yeah, you might just have to relocate. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you'd want to call the city, but I mean, if it's on your property, I'm sure the city worker's like, I'm not doing that.
They'll say, yeah, maybe call the circus.
Call the circus. Yeah. Yeah.
Circus probably left town.
How do you dispose of that? What, like, do they bring a big dump truck? Like, someone's shoveling it.
I feel like, when I was a kid going to circus, you know, they had the wheelbarrows and the big shovel, the guy with the big shovel, and they did scoop, you know, pooper scooper behind. So maybe they just bring the pooper scooper out to the house, you know. I don't know. You could spread it across your yard, and man, your grass would grow really well, right?
Elephant fertilizer.
And good, like, elephant dung.
Suddenly
you're
growing like the savannah, like Africa.
Yeah, like all of a sudden it's a rainforest in your yard. Yeah,
it's like Augusta National next year. It's one dude's house in Butte. Interesting story.
Yeah.
Elephant got loose from this, hit the transfer portal. The guy was trying to get over to Ringling Brothers. Stopped to take a dump in my yard. What a nightmare. I mean, you're calling State Farm. You're calling Allstate, whatever these things. Caitlin Clark, you got to call Caitlin Clark. See if her insurance policy, whatever one she's hawking.
Yeah.
Let's cover this. What is it? No, what's the one? Farmers? They're always like, we've covered it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I got this one.
Runaway elephant dung.
Yeah, great quotes here. Like, they were like, one woman said she was just standing there. My coworker pointed out, I looked up and was like, there's an elephant in the road. That's just wild. I live by a zoo, so you never know. But
that's true.
Yeah. Maybe, hopefully, I'd never find out. All right. This is clearly the end of this podcast, and appreciate anyone who stuck around for all of it. We will be back next week with more transfer portal, more spring games, more who knows what. Continue to subscribe, share us on social media, tell your friends about us, and we will talk to you later.